Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Unlocked Show. I'm your host, Tracy Wilson. It's my pleasure to be here with you guys this morning. And I think you guys are in for an absolute treat today
because I've got the amazing John Wieberg. You guys are going to hear today about how to improve your lead quality and also hear about how to increase your closing rates. Because if you're in business, you will know that if you do not have leads into your business, you're going to be in some real strife, right? You're not going to be in business for very long. And then the next problem most people have is that they get leads, but they're not really very good quality. So then we get the problem of how do I improve my lead quality? And then the next step in the process is now how do I actually get really good leads and actually convert them into really good paying clients? What I can tell you is that my good friend here, John, who is the expert when it comes to lead generation, he's been in business for, you know, 10 odd years, written a number of books on these particular subject matters, and he delivers really actionable, practical advice, steps, tips, tools, and resources that you guys are going to be able to take away from today's show and implement, because that's what we do here on The Unlocked Show. So it wasn't really word for word what I said before, but it's kind of the fast forwarded version of. So there you have it. Welcome to the show, John.
It was excellent. And I appreciate the intro the second time. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I saw you talking. I'm like, is it mine? So the whole time I was looking.
Totally.
Is it my audio? But what do you do? Yes, lead generation. And quality of leads and how to increase closing rates, anything with lead generation, marketing, sales, you name it. I love, as you said, I've actually got started at around 13, 14 years old, really young. My dad got me into it and business is my life. So I hope I can bring some immense value to your audience.
I know that when I was reading your bio, John, you said, you know, you started in this really young, and that was really because I'm assuming you learned a lot of this from your dad, right? Being a second generation entrepreneur and saying, you know, I came from really humble beginnings, but learned through, you know, watching dad and seeing what he did and then being able to, you know, take your savvy, you know, young mind and be able to apply that to what dad was doing and be able to really take it to the next level. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that forms a really good basis of how you have become the entrepreneur that you are today.
For sure. So a lot of it was my dad got me started. We were at the time, like you said, it was a struggling time for my family. We were really struggling financially. And he turned to online business and online marketing in order to make ends meet. And from that, I saw the lifestyle, especially even now, but a lot of the lifepreneurs that you saw back then of, you know, traveling the world, being able to achieve and do anything you want, that really drew me in, especially coming from that background. So I decided I'm going to go all in with this. I don't know if I'm going to succeed. I don't know if I'm going to fail, but I might as well try anyways. And it'll be an adventure no matter what. So I just really dedicated all of my time, not just learning from him, but also learning from Frank Kern. Shout out to Frank Kern, one of the best, if not the best marketers of all time. Frank Kern, a Nick Singal, many, many other of the leaders in the industry right now that I saw growing up. I'm like, if I could just do a little bit, learn a little bit from each of these different places and just keep learning. And once I've amassed enough information, I feel certain I'm good, then apply. I would increase my chance of succeeding in the business world.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of what we have now, particularly with this digital age, right? You know, 20 years in to sort of having the internet and having access to all of these different people now, we have the great opportunity to be able to actually learn from other people who have been there and done that. And like you say, you know, when you're learning from all sorts of different people and then taking those, you know, those gold nuggets from them and being able to create something that really works for yourself, you know, really does help to expedite your you know, your success. I'm just looking at the comments and I guarantee that all of them are going to say, hey, I can't hear you, not a word.
I still hear you good. I think we're going good. I hope
it keeps going. These are from a little while ago. So I'm just, you know, we'll take a moment to have a bit of a giggle about my my stuff up with moving the microphone. The, you know, lesson learned, don't move the mic as soon as you go live.
But anyhow.
I know I shouldn't have, but anyway, I did, and it cooked me up. So that being said, you know, when we think about your journey and you working across multiple different industries. Yep. I mean, there's a real benefit in doing that, right? But one of the things that I think we hear a lot about is really niching down and becoming good or just focusing on one particular industry. Right. And you've kind of flipped that on its head because you're going, well, I didn't do that. So tell us a little bit about that and how has that really benefited you?
Yeah, the problem with initially niching down, and even with like a skill set, say someone, whether they have a job or they're working on their business and they're focusing on sales or they're focusing on marketing or you name it. The problem with niching down too much is you mix how you miss how every other part of business or a part of whatever you're doing is all connected. Mm-hmm. So that's why I made sure I'm like, if I'm going to do this right, at some point, and this also ends up happening later on, say you're hiring, your business is growing, you're hiring, you want different employees. How do you know if an employee you're hiring has a good enough skill set if you have no idea what the skill set even is or what that would look like? So I decide I need to learn enough about all of marketing, sales, content marketing, content creation, you name it. The list is pretty extenuous. That no matter what a business has a problem with, I can identify and find a solution to their problem that I identify on what can help them get the fastest result with the least amount of expenditure. So that's something that I'm a really big proponent of, is whether someone has a sales job, I would still, for example, as this was a sales job, I would learn about marketing, I would learn about lead generation, everything that affects your sales job in the end game. And as well, if you're a business owner, you at the very minimum need to understand how the rest of your business functions. Because again, whether you're hiring or whether you're working on things yourself, if you're not proficient in each of these different areas, you're competing with, this is another big part of it, if you're not going to master everything, you are working with companies that have people who are dedicated completely to mastering this one thing. You cannot compete them. There's no way possible. You don't have the manpower. So you have to, I think, be a master in this day and age, be a master or hire out a master of everything that connects together in your business or in your life, because otherwise you're missing out on what your competition is doing daily and with the highest proficiency possible. Mm. It's hard to match that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the benefits, you know, certainly, you know, you're a consultant. Because you've been a consultant, you've worked in all these different industries. And I can really, you know, resonate with that too, because that's the sort of thing that I've done. And so I'll speak from my, you know, personal experience as well. And that when you do get the exposure to all of those different industries, it gives you the opportunity to be able to see, hey, that thing there really works in, say, the health and fitness industry.
Right.
And now I'm working on, I don't know, let's say it's a mindset app, what elements of this particular industry can I actually pick up and now implement into, you know, into this new industry that gives you a point of difference? It's something unique, but it's also innovating with something that already works in another industry, which I think is really powerful.
Right, for sure. And I think like a lot of people, especially people who are looking to hire consultants or freelancers and things, they're always concerned with, well, is there a difference, for example, not just in industries, but B2B or B2C? And as you've probably discovered, at least I believe it's true, is there is, but all usual marketing, sales, lead generation, all this different stuff usually works across industry, usually works across niche. Of course, you know, in a higher ticket space versus a lower ticket space, it's more difficult to make sales. But how you make those sales, how you work with the sales process, how you work with follow-up, how you work with lead generation is all pretty much the same. It's just tailoring it to more of, I think more that's what's better is tailoring whatever you're working on to the exact audience that person has in the industry or niche versus being so concerned with, well, I work in only this niche and I believe these people only buy this stuff. And you do have, most businesses do have intuition to who their buyer is and what they want. But most business practices are foundations for a reason, because they apply no matter what you're selling or who you're selling to. Oh, can you hear me, see me? You went out, but you're back. Can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, well, I was just listening to what you were saying. So you were talking about, you know, how in industry, you know, lead generation is really important. So we were going down that path. And I think one of the things that's quite interesting about that whole concept of lead gen is that, we need that in our business. But as yep. we have progressed, you know, a lot of people are looking towards this digital marketing space. And how do we optimize or utilize digital marketing to generate leads? So I want to talk a little bit about that. Also, interestingly enough, I just had some friends come and stay with me yesterday, and we were having a bit of a chat. And he was saying he's got a scaffolding business, and he was looking for some new clients. And he said he was actually at a local supermarket, and the local supermarket had one of those billboards in it, right, where you put your notice board, I would say, you put your notices up to advertise your business for lead generation. And he said what was quite funny about it was that he had he said to his wife at the time, just wait a minute, I'm just gonna jot down and put a notice on the board. We can't put business cards on there, but I can put a notice about my scaffolding business. And his wife said to him, don't waste your time, you know, that's old school, it doesn't work, you know, we need to be focusing on some of the new stuff, the digital marketing. And he said, just wait, right. I'm going to do it anyway, just humor me. And he put it up, and he said, you know what was quite funny, he got a phone call within 2 days from somebody off nice. Of that notice board to nice. Say, hey, I want you, I want you to come and do some work with me. So, you know, if we start at that kind of very basic level of what do we consider or where do we look for lead generation? What are some yep. of the things that we could be doing? I mean, that's obviously one.
For sure. So I think the old fashioned methods do still work, but I think what people are missing out on, because I want to talk about lead quality in this as well, is what people have to realize is, the digital marketing space is here to stay, and at some point, all business will basically be done online, or the vast majority. Mm-hmm. As phones are more and more in use, as we're doing this more and more, the world is moving towards a more digital realm. So I recommend to all businesses, all business owners, offline, online, you name it, to make sure that at the very least, you have some of your business online and you're learning about it now, because otherwise you're going to be too late when more and more of the industry, every industry, moves into only digital marketing or mainly digital marketing. Mm. So I think you can do newspaper ads still. You can do, billboards. You can do advertising on TV. I think right now the best main social media platform to do advertising on is going to be YouTube and Facebook. But for lead quality, making sure you're getting the best leads best you can get, I think what truly matters the most, targeting is often what people focus on. You need to have the right targeting with the right people seeing your ads, which is, of course, true. You want people who are at least interested in seeing your ads. But especially in online marketing, and online sales, and online advertising, with how good the algorithms are, they can usually find your audience without you even filtering out a target audience. They'll be able to find who's engaging based on the engagement that means they're interested. So it's, I believe, almost more important than, of course, having good quality people mm-hmm. who actually want and can afford your product and services. Looking at yourself is the messaging to filter out the people who you do not want buying from you. That's something I've learned even more recently from Frank Kern. He's a huge proponent of it, is that you want to make sure you are not getting bad customers, as in customers who are going to do chargebacks, who actually can't afford your stuff, who you have to convince to buy from you. And you also want to make sure that another reason why you want the right messaging to filter out people is if you aren't filtering in just the precise clients and leads you want to work with, that means you're wasting ad spend. And most people are wasting quite a bit mm-hmm. of ad spend on people who aren't actually interested or who are just dabbling. So mm-hmm. an example of this, which may be a very strong offer that stands out that can kind of do this, is having at the beginning of a video, Alex Ramosi is famous for this. At the beginning of his videos, he literally just states an offer with a guarantee towards a specific audience and results he can get just them. So for example, business owners, you want to call it your direct exact audience only. Business owners who are making 7 figures already, I will guarantee you to double your profit in the next 30 days. So by saying one business owners or gym owners, for example, gym owners, that gets rid of other business owners. It's just gym owners and who are making minimum 7 figures. Okay, there goes anyone making below 6 figures and anyone most likely who can afford your product and services. And it filters in a lot more of your real dream customer, as Russell Brunson would say. So I think that really good messaging that filters out people you don't want, almost more than filtering the people you do want, because when you filter out, that's going to be the people who are actually engaging and wanting to work with you.
Absolutely. And so it's really understanding who are those kind of people that you really want to work with. What are their characteristics and the attributes that they have that are very unique to them, so that you can carve out and say, you know, well, I'm only really looking for these particular type of people. Then I think what you're talking about is almost like a promise of value, is saying, and why you listening to today's conversation, you know, like listening to today's conversation today, if you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, you know, then the promise of value here is that John and I are going to be talking about lead generation. Yes. How do you generate leads? How do you increase the quality of those? And how do you get yourself to a point where you're able to improve the conversion rate on those by, you know, up to 87%? So, I mean, that then rules out anybody else who's not in business, that they're not an entrepreneur, you know, and they're not interested in generating leads or increasing their lead quality.
Exactly.
We've just disqualified them and said, this isn't the... Just don't waste your time. Don't listen to today's show. So that's just an example of what John's talking about here, is that being very, very clear on who that person is and what is it that you are going to promise to them, that promise of value, and how you're going to deliver it. And I agree with you. I think that's really important, because it's even more important to do that, to filter out those that, you know, you don't want to work with, than it is to try and really figure out who do I want to work with.
Right, because otherwise you spend the majority of your time convincing your people who you are working with. Say you have an ads agency, if you don't have good enough quality leads, you're going to have sales calls with your sales reps who are talking to people who they have to keep talking with for longer and longer time periods, and do everything they can with lots of follow-up, lots of making sure they're talking to and communicating with them. So much that it's wasted on a lead or a prospect that isn't actually interested in buying, and also who cannot afford to buy your product and service, versus if, again, you're heavily filtering out people you don't want and only including people you do want, you're going to have, number one, higher conversions on your ads. You're going to spend less on bad performing ads. You're going to get a higher quality lead. Because you're getting a better quality lead prospect, you're going to have higher customer retention, which customer retention is the king of all profit. So every, just on that one thing alone, is focusing on messaging and filtering out bad people you don't want to work with, long run, is there's a 3 or 4 or 5 different metrics for ROI that instantly are increased and that need to be a focus for business owners. Which again, a real quick thing with also as well, improving lead quality, is if you are, because there's a lot of businesses who are like, well, I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm still getting the best leads possible, but I can't seem to still get people to buy. My initial product, my initial offering, they are not buying for some reason. I'm trying to get the best leads, but they can't afford it, you name it. I think everyone needs, especially if you're doing sales calls, but in general, you can do this without sales calls, you need something to downsell them immediately. So a huge example of this is one of the only, I guess, more of a freelancing, but kind of jobs I had was actually, I was Frank Kern's head sales consultant about 2 years ago now. And we were selling a package for $8,700 for 3 months. That's a pretty good high ticket package. And there were some of the leads, not a lot of them, because he's really good at getting really high quality leads, that weren't interested. They just couldn't afford it. They him and hawed, couldn't follow up with them enough, you name it. We offered them then the same program, but you didn't get the live coaching. So that was the huge part, is live coaching with Frank himself. It was you got more of an automated course of it. For instead of $8,700, it was for, I believe it was like $2,000. The amount of people, I just emailed out all the prospects that did not buy, who bought that, almost generated more money than people who actually bought the $8,700 package. So based on downselling follow-up with people, if again, you do, let's just say you do everything you can, you try to improve your messaging, you try to do everything you can to get the highest quality lead possible, and you just can't still, downsell your butt off, because that will get you almost, it can be approximately the same amount of money as your actual offer.
And what's interesting about that, John, is when you think about, say, Frank Kern, for example, he's done such a great job in really honing in his messaging. So he knows exactly who he's looking for. And if you think about that process, you know, if somebody's taken the time to actually go through the process to get to the point where they're now in your sales funnel, they're looking at that first offer being a high ticket, they're already, you know, partway there. And whatever the thing is that has prevented them from buying, which in most cases is going to be, I just can't stretch to quite that much. I want it, but I just don't quite have that amount of money. And now what you're saying is we've already psychologically got them there. They've already in their mind gone, I want and I need that. That's going to be the solution for me. I just don't quite have the financial means to do it.
Right.
So coming back in with that resell, with a downsell, and I think this is important because a lot of people think I've got to go and create something completely different. But what you're saying here is a really smart thing that Frank does. It's just take away some of the, you know, more higher, you know, time-consuming elements.
Right.
Take that out of the offer and still offer the same, you know, the same package, just a tighter version of that at a cheaper rate.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And again, even in the worst case scenario, you can do affiliate marketing and offer them different products and services that are at least closely related. And you should do this no matter what. For example, even if you have, and there's a lot of companies that do this, for example, agencies. Agencies usually only offer their management of your ads, your follow-up, your sales process, usually management of something, right? So let's just say I'm running Frank Kern's agency and he's charging $5,000 a month for advertising. You need to upsell as well beyond your high ticket upsell to an even higher ticket upsell. So for example, that could be an inner circle. For example, that could be a direct one-on-one consulting. Ad agencies, like I said, they only usually have one offer. So if I was an ad agency watching this, I'd be like, well, this is how you double, triple, quadruple your sales. Number one, have a downsell for everyone who does not buy or who cannot afford your initial offering. Number two, have a higher price package after someone does buy that is either consulting for other parts of the business or is offering other potential services, whether or not your agency offers them, maybe another agency you can partner with does. Because your two things. In business, your job is to always, number one, provide as much value to the customer as possible. Mm. So if you're just doing ads for a customer, they probably have a sales process they have. They probably have follow-up they're doing. You still have two other ways you can service them. It's your job to give value to service them. And also as a capitalist and as a business owner, your job is to also make as much money as possible as well. So the twofold best thing you can do is make sure you keep offering different products and services that are closely related. And that, again, that the customer still wants, is interested in, can afford, and it will actually help them. That's going to be it, where people are missing out on the most money, especially high ticket companies who are running sales calls. They just run through all the leads, run out and go, we need more leads. No, you don't. You have a treasure trove, a Dragon's Den treasure trove sitting in your business right now. Sell to them.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different directions I want to go with this because I know you've got experience in lots of different places. Affiliate marketing is one of them. But in terms of like when you're thinking about, you know, what am I going to do and how do I create all of this? I think what you're saying here is, you know, we're saying, who is it that I've initially, who do I want to work with and who don't I want to work with? I'm just going to try and distill this down into the most simplest format. The next is, what is my messaging? What am I actually going to say to these people, and what will my offer be? So my promise of value, my offer that I'm going to create, and in that offer, I'm not just going to have one, but if I was to offer them just one thing, what could I then, what makes logical sense for me then to upsell to them, and what would make logical sense for me to downsell to them? And then you're going to continue to build out your product suite or your offerings from that point. And I think what I'm also hearing from you is that follow-up is extremely important. And the beautiful thing about this is that as you continue to generate leads, at the same time, you are building your database. You are creating an email list.
If
I think people will have picked up on that, because then that email list becomes the most precious thing that you've got in your business, right?
But the weird thing is, that I've came across every business I've ever talked to, ever, except for maybe exception of literally two or three, is almost no one emails nowadays. Almost no one follows up. It is such a strange phenomenon, but businesses don't realize you probably have more money on your email list or your list of prospects than you do from your advertising. It's because I think of the focus on lead generation and advertising, businesses hyper-focus too much on just, I need as many leads as possible, get them in the doors, which is great. I like speed. I like getting leads in the door. That's fantastic. But follow up and building an actual relationship with your customers is how you get them to become lifetime buyers and buy for the first time. Mm. You have to, again, what Frank Curry and many others and myself say is you have to actually care about your prospects. In order to care about them, you have to show them that through vigorous quality communication, which is all follow-up. And by doing that, you will sell a lot more of them. You'll provide a lot more value to all of them. And if you want to really, really take things to another level, if you make sure you have the highest quality follow-up possible, you will out-convert everyone in your marketplace. So because of my upbringings, as we mentioned earlier, we did not have almost any money to invest in our business, correct? So in order to make sure we were able to produce enough money and profits, we had to convert so much on the back end, so much more than anyone else in any affiliate launch or contest or products and services I've sold, that we had to have the best follow-up possible. And something that I talk about that I think is very important is what makes quality follow-up. You have to actually be able to define it. I define quality follow-up by three things: your ability to entertain, entice, and educate your audience. Because when you can entertain, educate, entice your audience, you are relating to them from every possible avenue that they relate to information. Because some people are logical, some people are emotional, some people are kinesthetic or feeling. So what your job is to actually be able to work with them is you need to relate in as many ways as possible in your follow-up, and you do that with social proof, you do that with testimonials, you do that with deals, discounts, you do it with a variety of different things that builds an actual relationship with the customer. Because you think about like the biggest brands or the fastest growing brands in the world. Look at Tesla. Whether or not you like Elon, or whether you love him, the company is what it is because of him, his personality, and what he's created. You take a look at Amazon. You take a look at the Harmozy brothers, or not the Harmozy brothers, the Harmon brothers. Sorry,
Harmon brothers.
The Harmon brothers or Alex Harmozy, but the Harmon brothers. Yep. They've launched humongous brands. They've launched Dr. Squatch. They've launched the Potty Squatty. They've launched a variety of different e-commerce B2C brands, and how they've done it is their ads actually entertain, entice, educate. They build a relationship with the customer. I go, I actually saw your stuff. And I actually like you because you weren't just, hi, my name's John. Here's a great deal. Buy now. Like you actually tried to impress me. And because you actually cared, it showed. And I actually want to buy from you now. So quality of follow-up is everything. Regardless of your lead quality, it will heavily help you increase profits. Mm. And any closing rates will.
All those things are super important and really interesting case studies when you go and look at some of those, like the Frank Kearns and the Alex Harmozy's and the, you know, and the Harmon brothers, and you're looking at the way in which they market. And even, you know, with TikTok now, if you're scrolling through there and you look at even, there's another brand, Beyond Body, you know, you know, you're looking at some of those, just to really study what it is that they're doing. And what's really interesting about them is that they, if you watch really carefully with the stuff that John's just talked about, they entertain, they educate, and they entice you. They're ticking all of those three boxes to get you to, you know, they dribble all the breadcrumbs and they get you to follow them until such time as, you know, you're ready to buy. Yep. And that's the recipe that, you know, we need to be following. And like I said, and then once you've been able to convert that person, they're on your database, whether they buy from you or not, you now have a prime opportunity to continue to build that relationship over time.
That's something that I want to mention that actually I've started to key the idea, but I think it's just something that's not really talked about very often, is what you're building there is lead retention. Because on any lead list, because you never hear that term, I like it a lot, is because there's customer retention, but also lead retention. People who are going to buy from your organization if you follow up right and with the high enough quality years down the line. Like on my own lead list, there's people I've personally talked to at an event, for example, an affiliate marketing event I was a part of. And they didn't buy from me for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And it's because of that, number one, consistency and quality of follow-up. And also, again, what we're giving your people a lot, but they need it. Also, what helps a ton with higher conversions, lead quality, and just every part of your business being more profitable is also omnipresent follow-up.
I'm glad you are going there, because it was just, I was about to go there too. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that is, like, I think in terms of opportunity right now with all the different platforms that are, is massive, right? I mean, this in itself, that, you know, John and I talking on a podcast or on a live show such as this, this is a version of omnipresence. And we'll talk a little bit about, let's go there, John, because I think this is really important.
Yep. So basically, how people can think about it is, think about every big brand you know. Why are they a big brand? Whether or not because they're profitable, because most big brands like that actually aren't that profitable. Walmart operates off like a 3.7% profit. You take a look, all these big brands, what do? They are constantly in your face. Now, some of them do have low quality, but what they do so well is basically branding and mass appeal. So whether you're scrolling on your phone, whether you're on TikTok, whether you're on a podcast, whether you're in your email, whether you're on TV, does not matter where you're looking, they are there in front of your eyes. And that's what makes them a big brand, or also be seen as an authority. So if you want your business to truly stand out, to convert a lot more of your leads into customers, convert more of your customers into repeat buyers, and do all these different things, you want to be seen through advertising, through your sales process, and through follow-up, and through content as well, through every possible venue. So for example, if I'm creating content, I make sure I create a long-form video on YouTube. I cut into slices. It's on Facebook. It's on TikTok. It's on YouTube. It's on Instagram. You name it. As well, I make sure that, okay, my audience is probably on my email list. So I email them minimum once a day. Minimum once a day, every other day. As well, if I'm running advertising, just with that alone, if someone is subscribed or seeing my content from one of those three places, those three or four different avenues, they're constantly seeing my messaging. Likelihood of them buying versus seeing an ad once a month is so much more impactful and likely, because people breed familiarity after they see you again and again and again. Again, what branding is actually just a long-term building of a relationship. Lead retention, customer retention, it's building a long-term view of who you are and what you deliver to someone. And you build that, again, through quality of follow-up, quality of advertising, quality of messaging, through quantity, and omnipresence through multiple different sources. It's the ultimate way to convert as many people in your audience into customers as possible. Because, again, if I get a phone call from your organization, there's a YouTube guy, Alaric Heck. I can't stand the sales team. I'll say it out here. You see this. I don't like his sales team. But they're doing what they're doing right. They've called me, texted me for 3 months straight. Probably will never buy from them. But I at least am talking about them right now and respect that they're doing their due diligence. As well, I get emails from them. I've seen retargeting ads from them, you name it. Doing that is better than nothing at all, or doing the bare minimum. Because most people, if they email, the email maybe once every couple of weeks, maybe once a week. They have a weekly broadcast. Mm-hmm. If they follow up, they text or call two times, they give up. You have to be there again and again and again, because one more thing I'll add on. I feel like I'm talking too much, but it's all right. The reason why you have to do what we're talking about is because the mass competition in every single marketplace in the world is mind-boggling. You can be selling toilet paper. You can be selling records. You could be selling anything, health and wellness products, you name it. The competition in what you're doing and the uniqueness you think your offer has is out there. There's plenty of people who have the exact same thing or better than you have. How you stand out and take the marketplace and take the majority of the profit is by doing these things and being there for your customer more than everyone else. It's what I call, I think all of this, what I wrap it up to is human marketing. It's a good term.
Well, you know, in terms of that, if you think about this at our core level for humans, you know, the one thing that we, or, well, there's many, but, you know, in the you know, sort of hierarchy of needs, the one thing that we really look for is safety, right? Yep. And when you think about safety, you know, when you're in trouble, what do? You're looking around you, you're looking for that, running to safety, and yep. also looking for a familiar face. And yep. so when somebody sees you over and over and over yep. again, they might not know you as a friend that, you know, you're going to go around and have dinner on their at their place, but they know you as a familiar face. And yep. when you become that familiar face, that starts to build trust, and it starts to build a sense of safety with that sure. person. Yep. So then when I'm, you know, when I'm looking for something and I know that John or that Tracy, you know, help people build their business ecosystems, help them create, you know, really profitable online businesses, and I want that, and I'm looking for a solution, and I want somebody that I feel safe with, yep. I'm going to go and gravitate to the person that I feel that sense of safety with, because they're going to look after yep. me. Because yep. that's what I know through all of the, you know, the clients that we've brought on board, the people that I work with, the yep. thing that they're looking for is that they actually feel safe with you. You're not going to rip them off. You're going to help them when they right. need it. You've got the skills and their expertise to be able to assist them.
Yep.
And they know that they've got support when they need it. And that yep. all comes down to one thing, and it's that sense of safety and trusting that familiar face.
Trusting, and I think also certainty. Safety and certainty uh-huh. that you can help them, and you will help them, and you're the best option possible to help them. Everything we've gone through is how you illustrate that. Again, a lot of people listening to podcasts, reading books, doing all these different things, trying to learn how to grow their businesses or change different areas of life, I'm always an advocate of they hear, no application. You have to apply minimum. I would think one of these things we've gone through, if you apply just increasing your quality of follow-up, add videos. One second.
Yeah, John's absolutely right. He'll be back in a sec.
Sorry, my
furry friends.
Furry friends.
They don't know. Okay. Yeah, they don't know when you're on a podcast.
Mm-hmm. They don't, unfortunately, but I got where I left off, I think, is you need to increase one of these things bare minimum. So it could be just mm-hmm. following up 2-3 times a week. Once you've done that, do one more small thing. Follow up with a couple videos. Once you've done that, call a couple leads a week. Once you've done, you know, slowly add on a few of these different things, and you will see your metrics across the board rise quite quickly and profitably. And it's something that I always say, because there's so many times that we listen to hear, oh my God, this great idea. I need to improve my offer from Alex Mosey, or I need to do human marketing from John, or I need to do this from a follow-up from Frank Kern. You have to apply at least some of it. And a lot of people struggle with it because it's, oh, I have to do this differently, or I have to do this additionally. See it as a instant opportunity to make a lot more money, impact your customers, help people, and serve more. And doing this again, one small thing at a time, just add a couple emails to your email sequence. Most people don't even have an email sequence that's actually like well laid out, you know. Call a lead a second time. Think of someone who, they were almost going to buy, but they just quite didn't. I don't know what I could have done. Call them and say, hey, this is one of the best sales tactics that works really well. Hey, I really think this would actually help you. What can I do to get you to buy? Like, what would actually set you over the edge to realize and see that this is what you need to grow and build or get this result? I'll do anything I can to help you get there. What can I include? What can I add? What can I discount? How can we make this work? I really honestly want to work with you. Something just like that, like, hey, we're able to make it work. How can we make it work now? I'm willing to do whatever I can to make this situation work. Again, what am I doing is I'm enticing. I'm entertaining. I'm giving pure value of I'm willing to do everything I can to make this work. It's human marketing. It's following up to its purest form. And doing this across all marketing, all sales, all follow-up is the key. Being yourself, being genuine, and always, how I phrase maybe some of the things I've said may have not been the best, but one quick piece of advice in all copy, all marketing, all sales, all follow-up: speak in the terms of only the customer and what they want and need, never in terms of yourself. So much copywriting is I, we, me, we have, you get the best offer when you invest with you. Speak in you terms. It goes so much better because people, when they read literally a lot of the time, and they'll read it as in, oh, me. He actually cares about me, mm-hmm. because that's how the copy is written.
Yeah. And that's quite interesting. I want to say here that in terms of what John's talking about, once that customer gets on your, you know, on your database, really important that you do start to personalize things from an initial lead generation point of view. You know, our languaging is slightly different, and maybe we'll talk about that on another podcast conversation. But, you know, how we actually do that is quite different from a point of view of making sure that we don't get ourselves disabled from a Facebook and an advertising kind of perspective. But it's really interesting, kind of that switch that we need to make. That's really a timely point in our conversations with people when we switch them over from being on other people's platforms, Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth, the language we use there, to now they're on our database and now they have trusted us in some way to become there, and the language shift that we need to make, which is quite an important piece of this puzzle.
For sure.
John, I want to ask you this. In terms of, you know, with what's working now, in your opinion, because a lot of, you know, what people have done over the last number of years has been, I need to create lead magnets. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what are you seeing right now that from a front end, top of funnel, lead generation perspective, what sort of stuff are you seeing that's working particularly well?
I think mass contacting, for example, on LinkedIn, which we all get, It's atrocious. I can't stand it. The mass appeal, other than email marketing, the mass appeal no longer works. And it has always worked, but what really is standing out is personalized touch. So, for example, I don't want to mass contact on LinkedIn 1,000 contacts. I would much rather personally make a video for probably 20 of them, or if possible, 100. The reason for this is, again, because there's so much bland bombardment into people's inboxes, into people's text messages, into people's everything, personal, name it. People are so accustomed into any marketplace, any industry, the same generic stuff over and over and over and over again. So you have to, again, do human marketing, truly stand out. And how you truly stand out is not doing what everyone else is doing. Yes, people make every part of marketing, sales, follow-up work, however they do it. They manage to find a way. But what works best is personalized, very human feeling, genuine messaging, preferably through video. I have made some amazing relationships, partnerships, affiliate connections, business connections, all through being a genuine real person and actually caring for people. So that's the second thing I would also say, is leading purely with value first. Too many businesses lead with their offer, lead with, I want this, you can get this from me, get this from me. Even with you language, they're still just too focused on getting, give. For example, if I was going to want to work with you or an ad agency or any business, I would, number one, I would use everything we've talked about. I would use a quality and quantity of follow-up from a variety of sources. And in all of that, I would send personalized videos. I would send free guides, not like just an ebook that gives information, like an actually useful, hey, I took a look at your sales process. Here's exactly what I would do to improve it and get 30% more sales. If you feel like this helps you out, let me know. I'll give you even more. So notice what I did that. I didn't say we can work together or apply here. I'll give you even more, I'll help you even more. That is what truly lands customers and makes them go for brand recognition too. Like, this person actually cares on a mass scale. Is the small things you do individually in interworkings, whether you're doing cold outreach, whether you have leads reaching out to you, be personable and use the highest quality follow-up possible. You will not go wrong. People will love you. You will have a great name, and you'll also feel good about it because you're not like, hey, by myself, it's really good. I really like it. You should like it too. It's, I want to give to you. Maybe on the second or third time, hey, I think I can help you more if you actually work with me. What would you like to do?
Yeah, I love that. So I want to say to everybody today, I hope that you guys have written some stuff down here. We've covered a lot of ground in terms of lead generation. And I want to let you guys know that if you want more of John, if you've enjoyed what he's been talking about today, and you want to go a little bit deeper, the best place that you can go to hang out with John, he's got loads and loads and loads of videos, is actually on YouTube. So I'm just going to pop his YouTube handle at the bottom here. So you can go to John Weberg, say JonWeberg. Go and check him out on YouTube. There's a ton of videos there for you guys to be able to pick and choose what things take your fancy and which parts of business you would like to improve on. Go and check John out there, and give yourself do yourself a favor. You can line them all up and do a whole big binge session on all of John's information over the next few days, and they're actionable. So I want you guys to make sure that you go and action them, because as we know, information is one thing, but if you only have that information and you do nothing with it, well, you've probably just wasted a whole lot of your time. So you want to implement the things that we've spoken about today. Really, really important. John, before we sort of wrap today's session up, is there anything else in particular that is pertinent to somebody's success when it comes to lead generation that we haven't spoken about that you would really like to share with everyone?
Ooh, it's hard. We've covered quite a bit. I think mainly just seriously focus on quality, multiple different avenues, and again, being as genuine and helpful as possible. Again, you hear it a lot, but I would come up with, instead of coming up with 10 different ad sets for Facebook, I would come up with 10 different assets that I can give to any customer or prospect to help them get more results, and give that out for free to anyone who has not bought, to anyone who's been on the sales call, who you've talked to is kind of hemming hung, and any lead prospect, any person you know, just give. If you actually help people, Frank Kern, I'm going to butcher this, but he says, if you actually help people, they'll actually probably want to buy from you. It's very basic. It is very basic, but it's actually true. Just give without even hope of reciprocation. You will feel good as a person, and you'll be like, wow, I'm actually helping someone. They're appreciative. You might get a testimonial out of it if you don't even get a customer. A lot of the times, that's why I get testimonials. They want to work with me. That's great. Do you mind doing a testimonial? Absolutely. You gave me a ton of free stuff. You actually helped. And then two quotes, if you don't mind. Number one, these are also both my own quotes. I thought of them when I was really young. I really like them. Real little snippet. One of them was also retweeted by Jessica Biel, which is Justin Timberlake's wife. Kind of an interesting fact. That one is, aspire for progress, hunger for success, and strive for greatness, which the meaning of that is obvious. And then, your attitude is not defined by your life. Your life is defined by your attitude.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, John. And I think if you guys, you follow his advice today, you can't go wrong in terms of lead generation. And just like you said, throughout today's show, it's not trying to eat the whole elephant at once. It's not trying to do everything. It's just pick one thing, implement it, do it really well, then move on to the next thing, and then so on and so forth. Now, I want to also mention to you guys, because it would be remiss of me if I didn't, a lot of the things that John's talking about require some technology and that to enable you to be able to follow up with people and systems and processes. There is one that I want to share with you guys. It's called Usability. I actually own that brand. It'll help you, build your websites, your sales funnels, your membership areas, your email marketing, your CRM, and the list goes on. So I want you guys to go and check it out. If you decide that you want to utilize that system, use the discount code UNLOCKED at the checkout, and that will give you a 10% discount. And you'll also get a 14-day free trial, just have a bit of a play and be able to implement some of the things that John's spoken about today. But I say thank you very, very much for your time and for sharing your expertise and your wisdom today. I know that everybody will take away some really good stuff out of today's session. And I would love to hear from you guys how you've gone with implementation of what John has spoken about. And like I said, if you want more from John, you need to understand this in a little bit more detail. Super simple. Just head on over to his YouTube channel and start watching some of his content, and that way you'll be able to implement it step by step. So thanks for joining us today. As I always say on the Unlocked Show, you need to go and live your life unlocked, because there is just no other way. Thanks, guys. I'll see you again on another episode of the Unlocked Show, either this Friday or next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Brisbane, Australia time. Bye for now.
Take care.